So this week I thought to start, I went and looked at the questions in the form, the submission form that I put out as part of this class. And I haven't actually looked at them in a long time, because we've been following from the question, can we talk about conditionality? And that's been weeks of a conversation. But I went back and I thought I'd start with one of the questions from there that was actually a pretty recent one submitted and had to do with transcendent, or it had to do with dependent origination and connected to some of the conversations we had in the past weeks. And I'm pretty sure one of you here wrote the question. So if it is your question and I'm kind of heading off in a direction that is not what you intended, feel free, if you feel comfortable, to let me know. So the question is, how does dependent arising ease the dukkha from thinking of past dukkha? So there's different ways I can understand this question and different ways to respond to it. So I'll take a couple of ways in to start and then open it up for maybe some more questions or reflections. So the first thing that I want to just point out or put out there, dependent arising is a kind of a, it's a teaching about how our human experience unfolds. It's a teaching about the processes at work in our human system. It's not a practice. It's more of a description of how things work. Now, understanding how things work can be really helpful. You know, there's some benefits in a way to having the understanding of, oh, the experiences that I have are conditioned. There's something very, for me at least, that's a very supportive reflection at times for myself, just to remind myself, this is conditioned. You know, this is happening right now because of history, because of what's happening now, because of various conditions of what's going on in my mind, things going on in the world. So there's a whole set of things coming together that's making this happen right now. And so, and that it is a kind of impersonal phenomenon, this conditioned unfolding. That too is supportive, that, you know, it's like sometimes that reflection of this is conditioned can help me to recognize, well, it's, you know, it's not exactly my fault that this is happening. It's conditions that are arising. Some of the conditions have come together, have been because of past actions, past choices, past things that have happened that I have had some say in the past. But in this moment, it's arising based on, you know, perhaps something's been seen or heard, and that's meeting the conditions from the past, and this thing is coming up. So the dukkha of the thinking of past dukkha, for instance, this phenomenon, what happens when we remember something that happened in the past that we suffered over, you know, maybe we remember some time that something happened that somebody treated us unfairly, or, you know, something like that. We remember something. So the first thing is the practice of mindfulness works in the present moment. And so to some extent, you know, we can reflect, well, that is past. You know, the conditions that made that happen, they unfolded as they unfolded. And yeah, that happened. So, you know, it kind of helps us to acknowledge this is what happened. But then in terms of the suffering that comes up now, thinking about what happened then, this is the dependent origination does speak to how this happens. So what happens here is a thought comes up in the mind, often conditioned based on a sense impression. You know, we see something and it reminds us through the kind of chain of memories or whatever, it reminds us of something and the thought arises. So the thought is something that's arising, the thought of the past is a phenomenon that's arising in the present moment, dependent on conditions in the present moment. So that's the first piece, that thought of something that happened in the past is arising now. And the suffering, that if there is suffering happening about that now, and often it does, you know, if when things from the past arise, a memory of the past arises of a time that we struggled with something, you know, when that memory arises, often the emotions, the moods, the feelings that happened in the past are recreated in the present moment. But this is another piece of the teaching of dependent arising. The thought itself, it's just a thought. And any of those other pieces that are arising, the emotions or the moods or the sensations in our body that are coming, they are being created right now. So they're very connected, like historically, they're very connected with that memory. But the memory is actually one thing, and all of the host of sensations and feelings and the things that happen that arise with that thought, they happen as a condition connected with that thought. So they're not actually necessary to come up with the thought. They often do, in my experience, a lot of the times they do. But just understanding the thought is one thing, and the feelings, the emotions, the sensations that are arising right now, they are arising right now. It's not actually the same suffering that happened in the past. It's suffering that's happening now. And so that is, it's useful to understand that is part of what's going on. And then so the teaching of dependent origination itself doesn't speak about what to do about this. You know, it just talks about how it comes to be. And I find that understanding something of how things come to be, just that reminder, you know, just like, oh, there's a memory arising and there's suffering coming up with that memory. Oh, right, this is conditioned. So that recollection of this, of the teaching of dependent origination, can be a supportive reflection in the moment. You know, that, oh, this is conditioned. You know, it's like, of course this is happening right now. This memory arose because I saw that thing, and all these feelings are arising because that memory arose, and there was a little bit of thinking about what it meant, that memory. So understanding that it's all conditioned can be useful. But then the teaching of transcendent dependent origination points to that there are conditions that can support us to have a different relationship to our suffering. And that basically starting with, you know, meeting suffering, if there's faith in the teachings, faith in the practices that are offered, the Buddhist practices that are offered, we may start to engage. We may bring mindfulness to the experience of, oh, there's a memory about something from the past, and suffering is happening now with that. So that is to be understood right now. Now, what we might do that might be a little bit of a temptation is to try to think about why did that happen, you know, not just why did the memory happen right now, but, you know, that thing happened and they're suffering about it. Why did that happen? You know, what was I doing then? And that's not the teaching in terms of the practice the Buddha's offering to change our relationship to suffering. He's encouraging us to actually say, there's suffering arising now. What is the experience of that right now? And so the thoughts arising in the mind, that's a piece of the experience, knowing, oh, there's thinking happening. And then there are emotions happening, arising with it. What are those emotions? What is the pull to justify or to blame or to shame? You know, all kinds of emotions that can come up with respect to past suffering. And so the, you know, being with that right now, what is that experience? The that opening to, with mindfulness, this is the experience of suffering happening right now. That actually has a way of kind of short-circuiting the usual habitual tendency we have to just follow through in that chain of suffering leading to craving, leading to more suffering, just that chain of dependent origination. The mindfulness in the moment of this is the experience of craving. This is the experience of regret or frustration or anger arising in dependence on this thought that has come up. That begins to change the direction. Now, this is not, it's not a quick fix. I mean, it it is something that takes time, but you might begin to notice, and we talked about this when we talked about dependent arising, you know, how seeing something, you know, so that the difference between being caught in ruminating about the past and the experience of knowing, oh, the mind is experiencing frustration right now. The mind is the experience. This is the human experience of suffering about something that happened in the past. There's a vast difference between those two. The being caught in and the kind of looping around and trying to figure out, how do I change the past? You know, the suffering that we you know, we hope to change the past by ruminating about it, and not going to happen. But what we can do is change our relationship to the suffering that's arising now through mindfulness. And so that, when we shift to a kind of a curiosity of, oh, what is it like to be a human being feeling that? There is the possibility of a shift to a little bit of a opening or some space that gives you the sense of, oh, this is a different way to meet this experience. And so there's a little bit of a feedback loop that can happen when we bring that practice of mindfulness to difficulty, whether it's difficulty arising now fresh and new, or difficulty that's arising now because we thought of something from the past. It's actually fresh and new difficulty arising now based on the thought that's arising now. It just feels like it's old. So the practice is the same, to open to it and then maybe begin to recognize a little bit of ease or a little bit of ability to hold it that feels a little different than just being caught in it. And, you know, in the beginning of our practice, that's hard, in the very beginning of our practice, because we don't yet trust it. We haven't yet experienced necessarily that shift. You know, it's for me, for the first few weeks of my practice, it's like I had to take it on faith that this was useful to open to looking at anger. I've told this many times, you know, looking at anger, and, you know, I wasn't sure what good it was going to do because I thought it would just make me more angry. But over the course of even just a few weeks, I began to understand that this way of being with experience created a weakening of the tendency to be angry. And so that had me get on board, you know, it's like, yeah, I'm going to do this. And then there were even some experiences of being able to be with the anger, be with the difficulty, and, oh, it's not such a big deal. It's just anger arising right now. And I don't have to like get pulled into the story of it. I can just know it. And then it has its life and it tends to weaken and pass away, not forever, but, you know, but so then we begin to have these experiences that reinforce the value of this approach to meeting difficulty. So I think that's all I'll say about that, and just see if there's any comments or reflections or, questions. If the person I think asked the question wants to ask anything, you're welcome to. And if not, then yeah, Anthony.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I heard a Dharma talk where I believe he's a monk. He said that it's like that getting caught in that thinking process of, you know, the past or whatever, it's kind of like junk food for the mind.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah. And we're kind of addicted to that junk food. So it does take a little bit of, it takes some faith or some trust to say, you know, there's something else that's nourishing, another way to meet it that's more nourishing than that junk food. And it takes a little bit of, you know, it's like acquiring the taste for the healthy food. You know, we like the taste of that salt and fat. But, you know, the healthy food, you know, it can take some time for the system to kind of adjust and actually appreciate, oh, this actually is pretty good.
So, thank you.
So, yeah, it's definitely a process. Yeah. And I'm happy to open to other questions too. I do have a few more questions that I could go to from the submissions, but I also want to see what's here in the Zoom room. Yeah, Chandra.
So, can you relate what you were talking about in terms of today, for instance? I ruminated a lot about the future. You know, I had a situation where I was possibly going to bid on a house. And so I just became extremely agitated and anxious about what the future of that particular house would be for me. And I could not get out of that anxiety. And I just I didn't follow through with it because there was, anyway. So my question being, how do you relate what you talked about in terms of, I don't, maybe it came from that anxiety came from the past, but it seemed like it came from all of my anxiety about how this particular situation would be for me in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. And that there's definitely, what I'd say is that, you know, when a thought arises about the past, often the emotions are connected to, if they're suffering about the past, often the emotions can be connected to, oh, maybe regret or, you know, anger or frustration about something that somebody did, you know, kind of like you done me wrong kind of feeling, or might be shame or something like that, if it was something I did or something like that. So there's a kind of flavors of emotions that arise based on the past. The future, thoughts about the future, the kinds of emotions that tend to arise there often relate to the fact that we don't know what's going to happen in the future. So the unknown is a place where anxiety, that's what anxiety grows on, mm-hmm. is when we don't know. So that makes a lot of sense to me, that anxiety was what came up for you as you thought about this thing for the future. I mean, it's quite natural. So what's happening there is that there's a thought about the future coming up in the present moment. And the mind, in knowing that or thinking about it, it's like it can't quite see the follow-ons. I mean, I would watch my mind like create many scenarios,
right,
about what could happen. You know, it's like the mind wants to nail it down somehow. And something that I explored, well, so first of all, I'll go back to that in a moment. But first of all, the same basic process is at work here. There's a thought arising in the mind in the present moment, and the mind is relating to it in some way. When a thought arises about the past, it's a thought arising in the present moment, and it relates to it in terms of, you know, its history with that thought. A thought arising about the present, about in the present, about the future, it's generally relating to it in terms of what's going to follow, you know, what's going to unfold there, you know. So it's still thinking about, it's trying to come up with how is it relating to that. So in the moment of that thought arising, the mind is relating to that thought right now. And in this moment, the relationship to that thought is, I don't know what's going to happen. And so the emotion is arising now. The feeling of anxiety is arising now. And so the practice would be to explore, right, of course there's anxiety because there's the unknown, the mind doesn't like the unknown. So that's something that could be useful there. It's like, right, of course, this is nature. Mm-hmm. There's unknown and the mind doesn't like that, and anxiety is the result. That might allow the mind to hold or be able to be with the anxiety a little bit more easily, rather than being just caught in the proliferating kind of stories of what if this happens and what if that happens and what if that happens and what if that happens. I mean, basically those stories, those kind of scenario generations are the mind trying to come up with some way to control the future. You know, we go back to the past and try to revise the past by mm-hmm. thinking about it. And by in the future, we create all these scenarios trying to control the outcome. And so the practice would say, the same practice, this is the suffering that's happening in the present moment. This is the human experience of a human being experiencing anxiety about the unknown. What is that like? Mm-hmm. Now, if you can be with it, and I'd say with either of these situations, you know, with thinking about the past or thinking about the future, with either of these situations, the suffering or the mind being hooked to it can be stronger than our capacity to be mindful. And if that's the case, I really recommend redirecting the attention, like recognizing, wow, if I try to be mindful of this anxiety, I'm just immediately looped back to thinking about all the different scenarios. It's like mindfulness doesn't have any traction here. Then I would say it would be useful to noticing that, like try to put your attention on something else for a little while to give yourself a break from the intensity of the suffering around the anxiety. Just let yourself, you know, go for a walk and, you know, put your attention in your feet, or, you know, just bring your attention to something really simple, even just for 90 seconds. Give yourself a little bit of a break from that, because there are times when the mindfulness is like, it's just sucked right into the difficulty. But if you can notice, okay, right, that of course, this is what's happening. There's anxiety about the unknown. And this is a natural human response. What is it like to feel that anxiety? That is a challenge. Anxiety is a challenge because it wants to find something known. Right. But if you can be with it, then you might notice that you might notice some of those same shifts I talked about, the ability to see that it kind of comes and goes, see that it can be held, that it's not so scary to know that there's anxiety happening. And if we can hold the anxiety without being kind of whirled around by it, then we might be able to reflect a little more skillfully on the various options that might be possible. Because we do have to think about the future. You know, sometimes we might think that what meditation practice is teaching us is how to stop thinking and, you know, just come into the present moment. But in my experience, you know, we're not going to be able to stop thinking, especially as lay people. You know, we have a lot of things to navigate in our lives, and those things to navigate take thoughts. And so if we expect our practice to take us to a place without thought, or think that that's what it's supposed to do, then we're not going to really understand how to navigate what it means to be mindful while we're thinking about the future. And so that's another piece to begin to explore. It's like, okay, can I think this thought about this house that I might buy, and not feel or not have the mind just kind of charge off? Can I just hold that I'm going to be, you know, thinking about bidding on this house? Just hold that in the mind and not have the mind charge off. Okay, let me pick up one particular thing that maybe is useful to think about here in this. If I do this, this is what might happen. If I do this, this is what might happen. So, and then again, see what happens as you bring those thoughts into the mind. So using mindfulness to explore the relationships to the various scenarios that the mind generates. This is more of a reflective practice, but it's using mindfulness to help us navigate choices. You know, we can bring in a choice in the mind, and sometimes we can do this very consciously, like take a time when we settle in meditation and then bring in a thought, okay, what about this decision that I need to make? What if I make this decision? And then that's all you bring in terms of thought. You don't think about it anymore. It's like, well, what if I make this decision? And then sit with the feelings that come up with that for 5 minutes or so. And then let that go. Maybe take a few notes about what came up. And then maybe bring up, well, what if I made this decision? And then feel what comes up there. Because there's a lot of information in those feelings. But normally the way our minds work is it's charging so fast in these various scenarios that we don't really get an opportunity to feel into how we are with the various possibilities. Mm-hmm. So that's one kind of thing I reflected on about this. But another piece too, I've noticed, and this is just a whole different way into this question. When there's something, you know, my mind is coming up with all kinds of scenarios. Well, that's what, that, you know, if this is what's happened, then that's what I'll do. If this is what's happened, then that's what I'll do. And I come up with these, all these different plans for the 18 different ways things might unfold and things that might follow on from that. And then when I get there, you know, what I've seen is the vast majority of the time, none of those things unfold. It's something else entirely. And so I've spent all this time thinking about these things and it's been useless. And then the other piece that I've seen is if perchance, because occasionally one of those things does follow out and it's like, oh yeah, that one did come true, or that one was the way it unfolded. The way I thought I would respond was not at all what was appropriate in the moment when I had to respond. And so almost, I would say 99% of the time, those proliferating thoughts were wasted time. Okay. But I think if you do it in the more reflective way, feeling into the, you know, how you might be with this decision or that decision, you know, that brings in a little bit more of the kind of body or intuitive wisdom of our system that can help us inform us to think about how we might make a choice. You know, if we have to make a choice between things, how we might do that. There's some information there that the reflective practice can do.